See, we need you here. Get down. And we want to welcome our Salmon Recovery Task Force report, Ed Bowles and John Platt, for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
ODFW, is it not?
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Ed Bowles. I'm the Fish Division Administrator for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And also with me here is John Platt from the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. Mr. Platt will be speaking just a little bit after I get us started on this. And I am not officially a member of the task force. Our representative from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is Mark Chilcote, who is a technical conservation biologist. And so I am here to our chair of the task force, Bob Jacobson, was unable to make it. And so I'll play his role of just introducing the topic. There was a presentation from the task force to the subcommittee, SR Squared, the stream restoration and salmon recovery. So this is just a follow-up for the full committee. From Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife standpoint, we're very pleased to have been participants on the task force and very pleased with the leadership and initiative that the task force took in the implementation of House Bill 3002, and also very pleased with the outcome. The focus today, we have a report, a summary of the process that has been handed out. Representative Jensen was one of the stalwart representatives of the legislature on the task force and helped shepherd this all the way through to its conclusion. There's several pieces to what the task force undertook and what they accomplished that you can find in the report. My part of this today would be to focus on the actual definition of recovery, which is one of those. There was also a scientific workshop that the task force convened that helped explore many of the aspects of recovery, what sort of characteristics of recovery we should be looking for, what are the standards we should be investigating, and you know, how exhaustive should this be. That was all it's summarized in the report. There's a summary also of the actual workshop, and so that was very well received in the scientific community as well. Right now, Madam Chair, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the actual definition of recovery. And the task force worked very hard to ensure that this definition was something that would provide leadership from the state of Oregon and clarify how we go about establishing the bar for recovery without getting crossways with existing federal and state law regarding Endangered Species Act. And I think the task force did an excellent job in that. The definition itself as recovery means that the constituent populations of naturally produced fish belonging to a listed unit are sufficiently abundant, productive, and diverse in terms of life histories and distribution that the listed unit as a whole will be self-sustaining into the future. Bit of a mouthful, and what we'll do is just walk through a few pieces of this. This naturally produced fish and the self-sustaining pieces of this, I'll get into a definition a little bit more detailed. Naturally produced is fish that reproduce and complete their full life cycle in natural habitats. And the self-sustaining component of this, two pieces to this. Populations are able to survive long periods of poor ocean, climatic, and environmental conditions. And the habitat is of sufficient quality and quantity to provide survival rates adequate for the persistence of naturally produced fish populations that provide associated environmental, cultural, and economic benefits. That's it for the definition piece of this, and I came prepared to provide a little context for this, Madam Chair, with respect to what is this definition of recovery, which is somewhat conceptual. What does it mean on the ground? And if you'd like, I can walk us through that using the example of Lower Columbia River Coho. So at your pleasure, I'll proceed through that next phase of this if you'd like.
Okay.
Just to provide the context of what this definition will look like, we've used Lower Columbia River Coho, and I think Mr. Platt can also kind of indicate what this looks like in some areas that they've been exploring in Northeast Oregon as well, that fit quite well. But here we've got, within the definition of recovery, reference to the listed unit. And if you'll look at this slide, you'll see that the listed unit is the full gray area for a state-listed endangered species, which is Lower Columbia River Coho. And so this would represent the listed unit. Now, also within the definition, we reference constituent populations. That represents these colored circles, if you will. In this case, it would be six constituent populations within the listed unit. Now, for that particular listed unit, the definition requires that the listed unit as a whole have sufficient abundance, productivity, and diversity so that it's self-sustaining. And that's what I'm going to walk you through, what this looks like for Lower Columbia River Coho for a state-listed species. For the delisting piece of this, the criteria is actually 50% of the spawners required for maximum smolt production over three consecutive years. And what this means is the habitat is capable of producing X numbers of juvenile fish heading out to the ocean. Our delisting criteria is that we are producing enough adults to seed that habitat to 50% of its capacity for three consecutive years. And then we have actual numbers of adults that translates to for some of the key populations, the sandy, the Clackamas, and two other populations.
And I'm going to ask you a dumb question here.
Sure.
I'm having a little trouble figuring out where you're going. These smolts, are you talking about hatchery fish in any of this?
These would be
what you consider wild fish?
These would be fish that are produced from the habitat. So these watersheds are capable of producing, for example, for the sandy, there'd be about 1,340 adults going up and spawning in that habitat, Madam Chair, would fill up the habitat, produce the maximum number of smolts.
But those adults?
Those can be hatchery fish.
Are they listed species or are they a hatchery?
They are listed fish that would be hatchery or wild, and they would be, but their progeny would then count towards the delisting piece of it.
So the progeny would be considered a wild fish, is that correct?
Absolutely, yes, because they'd be coming out of the gravel. And the criteria would be that the adults coming back from those progeny would be at 50% of the seeding rates, so they'd be naturally produced. And so you could start this process, Madam Chair, with hatchery fish or wild fish, a combination, but then the measure of success would be the progeny of that combination of naturally produced fish, okay? That would make it consistent with the currency of the Federal Endangered Species Act as well.
Madam Chair.
Representative Krepp.
Just a quick, Ed, in your presentation, will you be talking about capacity for spawning in terms of talking about abundance in having, as we've seen, some record runs in some areas? Could you address the issues of capacity for some streams and how that might affect potential delisting? So, in other words, are we getting some pretty overcrowded areas based on water levels and things of that nature?
Madam Chair and Representative Krupp, there within the definition of recovery, it kind of ties together the capacity issue within the, it says of sufficient abundance, productivity, and diversity. And the capacity issue comes into play under what we call the productivity side of things, because as you, just like on a pasture, the more stock you put on that pasture, the less productive it's going to be for an individual animal. And it's the same thing in our watersheds for fish. Now, for as far as the recent returns, I'll, a little later in the presentation, I'll show you how we have actually are seeing some very, very good and robust returns. So far, we're not really to the point biologically that we would say we're having fish that aren't making productive use of themselves. We still have a ways to go for that.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Once again, I'd like to reiterate that this example using Lower Columbia River coho is simply that, an example. The definition of recovery that the task force pulled together does not have the explicit standards in it because it necessarily doesn't try to be one size fits all for the whole state. That'll be worked out for individual species within the individual watersheds that they reside in, and this is an example of what that might look like.
Madam Chair, may I ask a stupid question?
Sure.
Thank you. So, theoretically, hatcheries could put out millions and millions of fish, and a small proportion of those could come back. So, theoretically, if that happens for 3 years, then all of the fish returning could be hatchery, correct? Is that what you're stating here?
Madam Chair and Representative Tomei, no. For the definition of recovery within this definition, those hatchery fish, adults coming back, would have to spawn and produce offspring that succeeded in coming back as adults, and then they would be counted for in the delisting process. You would not be counting hatchery adults directly for delisting. It would be their progeny produced in the watersheds, spawned naturally, that would count towards delisting.
Follow-up, please.
Go ahead.
But again, I guess my question is, if you get enough of these, even though I think the argument has been made in the past that wild fish are healthier and more adaptable to river and ocean conditions, if you get enough of these hatchery fish, you can still get enough of the returning fish. Maybe I'm not making myself clear. So you get a million hatchery coming in, and say 500 million come back. So then they reproduce. So 200 million are leaving, and then 100 million come back, and then another, so they leave, and maybe 25 million come back. So to me, that doesn't say that is a healthy population, but it is certainly a large population.
Madam Chair and Representative Tomei, you're exactly right, and that is one reason why the task force and the workshop was very clear that we can't define recovery and conservation based on just one attribute, numbers of fish or abundance. You'll find that that's one of the key ones, but then we have to link that to an attribute that we call productivity, and I'll go ahead and bounce down to that one now. Productivity or persistence, and when you combine that with that, this productivity or survivability is measured for the fish in a natural life cycle. And so that combined with abundance then get at more of your question, Representative Tomei, about, okay, just because we have numbers of fish, does that indicate that they're able to make a living in the wild?
Right.
And that's what we're linking together. And so for the Lower Columbia River coho example, you have a productivity criteria as well. And for delisting, the way that equates in a somewhat of an analytical side is less than 5% probability of extinction in 36 years. And I'll show you a graph that puts this in a more understandable fashion, because most folks don't know what that means on the ground. And I'll... We also have above and beyond delisting a long-term recovery piece of this. Before I get into the actual graph of where we're at now, the last attribute that I'm picking out to show you is distribution. So now we're combining numbers of fish with their survivability, and then the last piece is their distribution and diversity of their lifestyles, so life history styles. And for Lower Columbia River coho, delisting equates to 65% of the named streams with fish in them, These are naturally produced fish. Two of the populations, the Sandy and Clackamas, would be self-sustaining, and then two out of the four additional populations self-sustaining. And once again, we have a long-term recovery that's a little bit more ambitious than the delisting. This figure shows actually on the ground just the numbers of naturally produced fish coming back that gets at this question. If you look on the graph, you'll see that the decline slide that resulted in the state listing is shown in that mid-90s stretch right in here. And we've actually, because of some good ocean conditions and management actions, we're now turned the corner, and we actually have 2 years above our delisting criteria. But once again, that only is one attribute. Now we've got to look at the productivity as well. This shows the productivity or the survivability of these fish. And the graph is complex on its axes, but this is just over time. But all you need to understand is that anything above the dotted line, the fish are producing more adult progeny than it took to make them. So in other words, the population can rebuild when it's above this line. And when it's below the line, the population is crashing or declining. And if you're on the line, you're stable. And you can see recently, the last three brood cycles, we've actually turned the corner somewhat on the survivability side of it. And Representative Tomei, this is just for the naturally produced fish. So this doesn't equate to the survivability of fish in the hatchery. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Shields.
I've looked at these before, having been on this committee for a while, I keep wondering, how do we prove that anything we did had anything to do with ICRA?
Madam Chair and Senator Shields, very good question that we've asked ourselves. And if I may, I'll proceed in the program to show you how we know that actually we're at least partners in some of the success. We are certainly not at all able to take all the credit. As you're well aware, the robust ocean conditions and others have done a lion's share of the, given us the opportunity.
Ed, I'm afraid I'm going to have to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. A number of the members have lunch appointments. Is it possible for you to join us after lunch and have a recess of the presentation?
At your pleasure, Madam Chair. We can wrap this up right now, and or we can continue on as you see fit. I'm about done with mine. Mr. Platt would like to speak to some of the tribal issues related to this, but this is mainly just to move beyond the subcommittee. We already saw this,
okay.
And then work into your work session. So, is that your pleasure?
Would you be able to join us again at one?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair.
Okay.
I'd like that.
I'd like that too. Yeah, I really would.
Okay.
I'd appreciate
there's
that.
Some things I'd
thank
like
you.
To have them get into specifically. Would
no.
Like to have
no,
some discussion
yeah.
of the scientific workshop. Who was there and what the conclusions were of that? Because I think for the committee might be very. But it's beneficial and helpful.
Yeah. Be happy
Thank you
to.
For being flexible. So we will recess until 1 o'clock.
Thank you. Okay.